This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and all across America. I'm your host, Jay Shell. Our guest today is Jessica Cargiella. She's the executive director of Footloose Montana, which is an advocacy organization devoted to getting rid of trapping in Montana. So, welcome, Jessica. It's good to be talking with you. Going to be an interesting interview.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, Jessica, how did Footloose get started? And do you have members, or what type of organization is it?
We are a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. We do advocate based on our mission. We were founded in 2007 by a group of friends, primarily, though, when Anya Heister, our first founder, was out cross-country skiing with her significant other. They saw a fisher in a snare hanging from a tree.
Oh, my.
And she was very upset. It was difficult for her to see the animal suffering.
Yeah.
And they decided that they would try to release the animal from the trap. At the time, didn't know that disturbing a trap was against the law.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Yeah. You know, coming back and reporting on it to other people, being astounded that trapping was happening on Montana's public land, a group formed to found Footloose Montana and Montana for Trap-Free Lands, and thus the organization was born. There was a documentary filmmaker, an attorney, several other folks that decided that they would form a board and incorporate and make it their mission to ban trapping on public lands. We recognize private land rights, so we're just focused on public lands. Since then, we've expanded our mission to include protection of wildlife. We have a particular focus on predator species. They seem to be under assault, so we've a primary focus on them also.
So do you need financial support? Where does that come from?
Well, you know, that's the nature of the nonprofit sector, right? Mm-hmm. We depend on small dollar donors. We apply for grants. You know, we have some larger benefactors for whom we're really grateful, but we are dependent on those who share our mission, who share our desire to ban trapping on public lands and protect our wildlife.
What are the different kinds of trapping in Montana? They use snares. They do denning. What kind of methods are used?
The primary forms of trapping in Montana are foothold. Some people refer to them to jawed or steel jawed traps, and snares. Those are the two forms that are primarily used in Montana.
And what kinds of animals do they go after?
The species that can be trapped in Montana are bobcat, fisher, otter, swift fox, muskrat, mink, marten, beaver, wolverine. Lynx is a target in other states. Of course, it's protected. I mean, in other countries, but it's protected in the United States under the Endangered Species Act. And there are quotas on some of them.
So are there
a lot of them are unlimited.
Are they just smaller animals, or can they trap for wolves and bear and mountain lion?
Right, yes. So they do trap for wolves. They can bait for wolves. There's unlimited hunting of black bears. Grizzly bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act, and then there are quotas on mountain lions.
Oh. And what's the motivation for trapping? Why are they going after them?
It can't really be a profit motive when you look at reimbursement rates for trapping. The average rate is anywhere from $10 to $30 per hide. When you look at the amount of expense that someone would have to put in to go out and trap animals actively, you know, you've got gasoline, you've got costs for the equipment, clothing, specialized clothing, your time, your energy. It's pretty common knowledge among trappers that you really can't make a living for trapping. I think a lot of people view it as a sport or a recreation. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you know, I think that that's really sad, because I would define, as a lot of other people would define between a sport or hunting and trapping. I think they're entirely different things. Mm.
Why do people trap instead of hunt?
Or do they do both? Some people do both, but I think trappers are a specific group. And I think that it's something that they've grown up with. I think that they were taught how to do that. I don't think that there's a lot of recruitment into the sport. The numbers bear that out. The numbers of trappers in the state of Montana dwindle every year. I think there are only around 3,000 trappers currently in the state of Montana, according to licensing.
Where do they place their traps?
They're supposed to put them off of setbacks, which are 50 feet off of a trail or road, and 500 feet off of a trailhead. But traps are placed illegally all of the time.
What kind of terrain do they set these traps in? Forest areas or out on tundra or grasslands? Where?
Primarily, it tends to be forested areas. Uh-huh. You would tend to think of the locations for the traps based on their habitat, the species habitat. So, you know, with a bobcat or a lynx, that's going to be deep snowpack, forested areas. With most of the fur bearers, you know, if you think of like a beaver, of course, you're going to have to look near water sources.
Are trappers primarily ranchers who want to get rid of nuisances and predators?
No, trappers are a category all of their own. Ranchers really probably aren't interested in traps because most of them have dogs. They have cats, they have other animals that can get caught in traps. Not a lot of ranchers trap. I'm sure they're probably a handful, but, you know, as a general rule, ranchers aren't trappers, no.
So there's not a lot. So there apparently isn't that much damage caused by the animals that are the targets of trapping.
Do you mean that livestock are not being depredated on?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you're going to hear that at commission meetings. You're going to hear that at the legislature, that predator species are a problem for livestock. But anyone can go to the Montana Department of Agriculture, the Montana Department of Livestock website and look up for themselves. The Livestock Loss Board will reimburse for losses, and they keep track of the numbers of livestock lost to depredation. So in 2022, out of 3,895,000 total livestock, including cattle, sheep, lambs, hogs, in total, there are 3,895,000 livestock in the state of Montana. And out of those, in 2022, there were only 145 losses out of all of those categories of livestock lost to depredation reported to the Livestock Loss Board.
Are those predations mostly caused by coyotes?
They are. Coyotes are the most likely to kill livestock, yes.
They are also trapped, is that right?
They are. They're trapped and hunted also.
Yeah. You say there are about 3,000 trappers in Montana. Do they have to be licensed?
They do. You do have to license the trap. You have to license with the state, yes.
Do trappers use bait to lure animals to their traps?
Primarily just with wolves.
Oh, but not coyotes or other smaller animals, huh?
Well, I would imagine that they do. You know, that's probably not something I could speak to. But, yeah, I would imagine with coyotes, they probably do. Other species, you don't have to. When you think about something like a beaver or a muskrat.
A beaver and muskrat, are they heavily trapped in Montana?
You know, there's unlimited quotas on it, so we're not tracking the numbers.
Uh-huh.
But I would imagine that since there's not a market for those pelts, you would think not. I don't know what people would be doing with those pelts.
Are poisons used to in any way to go after the same animals they want to trap?
Well, you probably read recently that the BLM just banned, what were they, the
ME-44s? Yeah.
Cyanide bombs? Right. Yes, so poisons were being used by Bureau of Land Management up until recently, and they've been banned for a minimum of 5 years now. But yes, poisons are certainly used. I know people who poison coyotes.
And how often do trappers need to check their traps? Is that a requirement?
It's not really a requirement. Fish Wildlife Parks only recommends that trappers check them every 48 hours. So that's the administrative rules, which are just a recommendation. And Montana law says that trappers must append traps in a manner that doesn't waste fur-bearing animals, and traps have to be removed post-trapping season. So I would say that it's not really regulated.
Do animals mostly die in the traps before the trapper gets to them, or does the trapper find a live animal in a trap and then kill her?
So there are conibear traps or body crushing traps, and those are used in Montana too. Trappers, I guess, lean more away from those because of the inaccuracy of the traps. When they work the way that they're intended, they're supposed to kill an animal instantly, but a foothold or a snare will not, and an animal will suffer, and that is the more common scenario, is that if an animal is caught in a foothold or a snare, that it is going to suffer. Animals will chew off their feet. Other animals will predate on them. They will freeze to death. They'll starve. Depending on how long they're there, it causes incredible suffering.
You know what the frequency is of trapping and where in Montana it is most heavily done?
Primarily in western Montana, where there are more forested areas. You can look at quotas for certain areas and the number of species that are trapped. It'll give you a pretty good idea. But those areas surrounding our national parks would be the areas that are probably most heavily trapped.
When an animal is taken by a trapper from the trap, do they have to report on the taking?
If they're unlimited and there are no quotas, no. Mm. Others, you know, some have a 24-hour reporting requirement. Wolves have to be reported within 24 hours. You know, they have to provide evidence of the animal, like a skull, to the Fish Wildlife Parks Department. So there's different requirements for different species.
Let me come back to ranchers and farmers. What do they do in order to protect their livestock from predation by other animals?
Most ranchers will find that non-lethal means are the most effective. And considering the depredation from predator species isn't really significant. Things like dogs are most commonly used. There are specific types of dogs, as you know, that are going to be more protective than others that are going to be able to fend off a predator species. You know, you named the Great Pyrenees. They're Karelian bear dogs. They're dogs that are bred specifically for protecting livestock from predators. I have friends that raise sheep in rural Montana, and they also have Great Pyrenees dogs that they think suffice just fine. Other ranchers will use things like electrified fencing. In some parts of Idaho, I understand there are range rider programs. I think some people like that idea, but I don't think that there's a lot of funding for it. But it is effective. And then some people believe in hazing animals, and that could involve yelling at them, blasting horns at them to scare them away from the property, from coming back. But I couldn't tell you how effective that is. I don't think I'd want that job.
What are the regulations in Montana related to trapping? What has the legislature done, and have there been any changes recently?
Oh, there have been a lot of changes. In the 2021 session, there were increased quotas on wolves. Baiting was allowed. There were some other ridiculous bills allowing things like spotlighting that I don't think passed. But as you know, there have been bills to allow hound hunting for different species. I think that there's a lot of special interest money coming into the state sponsoring, getting people to sponsor bills to increase quotas for animals and to increase the types of hunting that are permitted by the state. You asked about House Bill 372, I believe it was.
Yeah, I think that was two or three years ago.
Yeah, that was the 2023 session. That was Paul Fielder's bill to include trapping as a right in the state constitution. It would have required a 75% support vote from the legislature from both bodies. And it didn't get it, thank goodness. And I think it was in part the fact that it was a constitutional amendment, but I also think that there were groups like the Montana Stock Growers Association who came in and said that the way that the bill was worded would have given priority to trappers and hunters over landowners and water rights owners. So it failed, thank goodness. And I don't think that's going to hurt hunters and trappers in any regard. The Montana Constitution provides an opportunity for people to hunt and trap fish.
Is there any effort that you know of in Congress in Washington to limit trapping in any way?
Not that I'm aware of. There isn't an effort right now to delist grizzly bears, though. And I think, you know, the reasons cited are based on some false narratives, including increased depredation of livestock. That's just not true. The statistics bear that out. It's not significant enough to merit delisting. Some people claim that their population has increased to a level that it merits delisting. In reality, there's no way to know how many grizzly bears are in the state of Montana. We don't have an accurate way of determining the number of grizzly bears in the state of Montana. People can take an educated guess. It would hover around 1,000, I think, 1,200 max. And you know, if people think that there are more bears, it might be because they're moving out of historical migration patterns, and that's more attributable to loss of habitat, loss of food source, and that's probably our fault.
So do you carry on a public relations program to try to oppose trapping activity?
We're constantly messaging on the dangers of trapping. We just conducted a poll, a survey across the state with a large sample size, and the results bore out that 52% overall people who are registered to vote in the state of Montana oppose trapping. That's a first. When there have been polls and surveys conducted in the past by the University of Montana and Fish and Wildlife Parks, it's hovered around the high 40% opposed trapping. This year was the first year that we got results showing that a majority of Montana is opposed trapping. And interestingly enough, the University of Montana and Fish and Wildlife Parks conducted a survey which bore the same type of results.
Are there other organizations that you cooperate with, like SPCA or Humane Society, who oppose trapping?
We don't have any formalized way to collaborate with other groups, but when we're doing things like advocacy work, say we're going to speak at a commission meeting, testify at a legislative hearing, there is a lot of collaboration between organizations. And I think that's where it matters most. You know, I would just say that as far as formally, though, I think that there are opportunities, and we're looking for those opportunities.
Are there other anti-trapping organizations in other states that you communicate with?
We do, yeah. I was talking to an organization, the director of an organization in Wyoming the other day, I think in those states where trapping is still allowed, there are like-minded, similar mission organizations to Footloose Montana where they're working to ban trapping on public lands.
Do you know the number of states where there is anti-trapping legislation or conversely where it's allowed?
Well, according to what I've looked up, there's a handful of states that have some type of regulation or outright bans. It looks like Arizona, California, Colorado, Florida, Massachusetts, New Jersey, Rhode Island, Washington, and Hawaii have all restricted trapping in some form or another, with New Jersey having the strongest laws against trapping.
When it was heard in the Montana legislature, did you testify?
When I was serving, I certainly argued against trapping bills. I didn't testify last legislative session for Paul Fielder's House Bill 372. I certainly followed it. I took a great interest in it for many reasons, primarily that it would have included trapping in our state constitution. But yeah, it's just something that I'm strongly opposed to. The bill hearings were interesting to hear the arguments. You know, there were arguments based on compassion, suffering, safety, but then other people came in and talked about property rights and water rights being threatened by the legislation. And Footloose had several people there testifying on our behalf against that bill.
How animated was the discussion that went on?
Well, I think during the bill hearing, there were certainly people that were testifying that were more animated than others.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anything out of the ordinary, having served for 4 sessions for 8 years and terming out of the House. There was nothing I'd never seen before.
Is there out-of-state money that comes in to support the trappers?
Absolutely, yeah. Interestingly enough, that bill that Paul Fielder sponsored was just what we call a piece of model legislation from the NRA. So the NRA has sponsored similar or same pieces of legislation in several other states where the wording was really similar or almost identical. So
why does the NRA care? That's not hunting, that's trapping.
Right, but they want hunters to believe that their hunting rights will be threatened.
I see. Okay. Has the governor announced his position in regard to trapping in Montana?
Well, I don't think that he had to. I think shortly after he was elected, he trapped a collared wolf outside of Yellowstone. His name was Max. And actually, I think he had someone else trap it for him, snare it for him. And it suffered there for a day or two before he drove down and shot it point blank. So I think his position is fairly clear.
I remember he shot it, but I didn't know it was trapped first.
Yeah. Yeah, it was lying there on the ground with its foot in a snare when he walked up to it and shot it.
What's your game plan at Footloose? What do you hope for the future?
We're working on our trapping workshops. We like to go out and educate people about the dangers of trapping on public lands. We like to help people identify the types of traps that they might encounter, what a legally placed trap is and what's not, and to be able to provide first aid to their pets, you know, should that happen. And it happens more frequently than we care to know. Just over the Christmas holiday, there were 3 incidents of dogs getting caught in traps. And one was probably an illegally placed trap, and the dog was injured quite badly.
Mm.
So we conduct trapping workshops, and we're also planning a series of panel discussions to include hunters, wildlife biologists, wildlife experts, people that are in the travel and tourism industry, members of the tribe, some people that can speak to the cultural aspect of trapping. And we're planning on hosting those in several different locations around the state, starting in March with the first one here in Missoula on March 11th at the public library, starting at 5:30 p.m.
Well, in 2013-14, there was an initiative attempt to stop trapping or put a control on it. Is there any interest in renewing that kind of an initiative?
To my knowledge, there have been 3 ballot initiatives attempted.
Yeah.
Only one, they collected enough signatures to get it on the ballot, and it was soundly beat by over 20 points. So I think the appetite to try it again is, you know, measured by the likelihood that we get it on the ballot and get it passed. It takes a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of work to move a ballot initiative forward. And the ballot initiative in 2014 became quite contentious. There were reports made to the Commissioner of Political Practices for claims that trappers were harassing signature gatherers, you know, just a lot of animosity from the trapping community. And there were falsehoods put out about how rights were going to be infringed on, that people's heritage would be taken away, that people's hunting rights were going to be next, that this was just a step toward taking away people's hunting rights. I think that narrative is coming from dark money groups like the NRA. But, you know, they're basing it all on things that some advocate in California said, you know, sometime way back in 2000-something. You know, Paul Fielder's testimony to that bill was a little bit ridiculous. It sounded like one time back at band camp, you know. But it's worse, you know, it's not a laughable circumstance when you talk about Footloose Montana wanting to take away people's hunting rights.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a falsehood. We're a hunting neutral organization. We have people who hunt that support our organization, that donate to us. We have people that are animal rights advocates who are completely vegan for moral reasons, that they don't support consumption of any type of animal. And that's just not an area of policy that we care to wander into.
Do you have any idea of what it would cost to launch an initiative campaign?
Oh, wow. You know, if I were going to take a guess, it would be anywhere from $200,000 to $500,000.
Is there any resource that could be applied to get that kind of money?
Well, I mean, applying for it, I don't know. I mean, there might be grants available. Most foundations, most gifters of grants steer clear of any type of political activity. So the likelihood of getting any type of a gift or applying for something to fund a ballot initiative isn't likely. I think that you have to get a ballot initiative funded the old-fashioned way by good hard work and, getting it donor by donor, working on it.
When you say that a poll indicated that more than 50% of people in Montana oppose trapping, you would think that maybe there would be some hope for an initiative campaign.
We are very encouraged by the fact that both our poll and the UM Fish, Wildlife, Parks poll have similar indications that 52% of people in Montana do not support trapping, and their decision or their, you know, their perspectives are based on the suffering of the animal, public safety, and just compassion for animals. Suffering, compassion, and safety. And so the tide is moving in our direction right now. If our polling is accurate, I tend to think that it is, since there's a second poll that bears out the same results. But I think if you're going to pursue something like a ballot initiative, you want to have a lot stronger percentages turning your way before you pursue a ballot initiative. We have a number in mind. I'm not going to share it today, but, you know, we would certainly have to have a war chest of funding built up, an army of volunteers, and some solid polling to back it up before we make any effort to do that again. And we will, when the time is right.
Well, good luck, Jessica. We've run out of time, but I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you, and I wish you well. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Our guest today has been Jessica Scargiola, Executive Director of Footloose Montana, working to end trapping. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to js-wilderness.com or to kgvm.org and see additional features of our websites. Thank you very much for listening. I'm your host, Jay Shell.